Welcome to another episode of In the Pen, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network, the only podcast on the network that focuses exclusively on relievers. As usual, I'm Callan Elsinger, joined by Pitcherless own bullpen expert, Rick Graham. Rick, how was your week?
It was a pretty good week, you know, all things considered. Fantasy-wise, I'm off to a bit of a slow start in some of my, you know, my leagues right now, but it's still early.
Yeah, I'm been hit or miss. We have the podcast league, which we're not off to the best start. We're kind of hanging around the middle for. I have some of my NFBC leagues that are haven't got off to the hottest start, but I feel like that's a lot of people in fantasy who have kind of been, it's just like, offense can't get going anywhere. So yeah. Your offense is still always going to look pretty shaky. So not panicking yet, but there's a little bit of worry. I'm trying to hit the waiver wire hard, and it has not gone as well as I would have hoped.
I hear you.
But so today what we're going to do, we'll do our usual, we'll do the risers, we'll break down some of the latest closer carousel, but we're going to take a look at some of the Statcast metrics. There's some names who kind of jumped off. Yes, it's 5 to 8 outings. It's still fairly early in the season, but we want to take a look at some of this stuff. We've put together some on our show sheet. It's just some names to keep an eye on who've jumped off the page as a person to put on your watch list, someone whose role down the line may be expanded. We're seeing that with my favorite team. We're seeing that with Rick's favorite team. We'll break down other players as well. But some names to keep on your watch list who may not be on the immediate radar now, but are jumping off the page to where managers may start turning towards them in some of these key roles to be part of your saves, more than likely holds, but potentially even saves and towards the middle part of the season. But as we always do, we'll start off with the risers of the week. Rick, you put out your closer ranks. Who was your biggest riser from the past week?
Yeah, there was a few. I kind of mixed it up a little bit this week and, you know, gave some, I guess, more credit to the relievers, the closers who are in, you know, the driver's seat for the being the one and only closer for their team, which is, you know, hard to come by these days. So yeah, like David Robertson, Daniel Bard, and Jorge Lopez all moved up a significant amount this week. Robertson's been fantastic for the Cubs. You can't really ask for more. And, you know, he doesn't throw hard. He's just throwing, you know, a cutter, curveball, you know, slider mix, but it's working right now. And there's no reason to think he's going to lose that job anytime soon. Daniel Bard, as long as his back's okay, should be in the same situation where he's going to hang on in Colorado. And, you know, he's another one of these guys. He's throwing a lot of slider. His slider usage is way up, so it seemed to be successful for him. And then Jorge Lopez in Baltimore, who would have thought? But he's been pretty dominant so far this season. And, you know, we kind of hinted at it before that, like, his stuff does kind of fit for that late inning role. So looking forward to seeing what happens with him the rest of the year.
Yeah, I've just pulled up his Savant page and there's a bunch of red. He's 92nd percentile in average exit velocity, 96th percentile on hard hit percentage, 90th percentile in K percentage. This is a guy who could not make as a starter. It's an Oriole. So when we first started previewing this team, it was just like, really, we're going to get excited about Jorge Lopez? I didn't think it would be. I said it would go get Dylan Tate. Tulsa, who's a smart one of this podcast is, but he's been great. I've been trying to get him everywhere I can when he was available. I've been loving what I've seen from him. He may personally be my favorite of this list. I think he has the most potential to stick around. I still think that there's, you know, like you said, Bard's dealing with his back right now. Robertson, he has a stranglehold on that role, but Chicago has so many relievers that it wouldn't surprise me. So while he might be my favorite, do you have a preference? If for some reason these guys are still on your waiver wire, one, go get any one of them. But if you had to rank them for rest of season, which one do you think has the strongest hold on their job? I know it's tough, but who do you prefer to most of these three?
I think Robertson right now, just, and it's really cool. Yeah, it is really close. But Robertson, because the Cubs are going to win more games than the Orioles. You never know if like a guy like a Lopez pitching for a team like Baltimore, you're going to have weeks where he gets 3 saves and you're going to have 2 weeks where he gets none. So it's like, you take advantage of the weeks where he's doing well, and you just, I guess if you're okay living with, you know, getting zeros in the save category for a couple weeks, then yeah. But, you know, ERA whip-wise, K-wise, definitely Lopez, but I think Robertson's the better overall option right now.
Yeah, and like you said, he may be just because of team perspective. The Cubs are going to be the best team of these three options, so you might as well take advantage of it of where you can. But they're all intriguing names, like we said. If they're still around, if they're still in on your waiver wire, go get them. Go attack those saves. Yeah. They should not be around too much longer. But like we said, with the risers, there's always the fallers. There's the players who you may want to drop for some of these options. Who are a couple of those names that have been been falling these past few weeks, who took you the biggest fall in your ranks this week?
I would say I dropped the committee guys down, and I don't know. I don't think it's worth, you know, dropping them in your league. Maybe in a 10 teamer, it gets, you know, a little dicier, but like in 12 teamers, there should be pretty much every closer should be rostered, I would think. So, you know, Scott Barlow, Paul Sewald, Andrew Kittredge, like that whole group where they're splitting saves, assuming Sewald splitting saves when he comes back from the COVID IL. But I think they're still worth rostering, but it's similar to like Lopez in the sense where, you know, you're going to have weeks where they get one or two saves, maybe three, and then weeks where, or 2 weeks in a back to back where you get nothing and you just have to sit tight and kind of roll through it, which, you know, in a season long roto, that's, you know, that's fine. You doesn't really matter, but week to week or weekly, you know, head to head leagues, that can be a difference maker when you're getting zeros out of your, you know, reliever.
Yeah, it's very tough, and you're probably right that not fully drops saves are always valuable. But in those short-term leagues where, like short leagues, I should say, smaller leagues, that's a better way to put it, you may not want to. We'll get into some of these situations a little more deeper as a couple when we get to some of the news. But, you know, what are you doing with Paul Sewald, I guess we should say? So we're not totally going into that situation. He's currently battling with the COVID IL. And with the amount of people who are coming into Seattle, Andrés Muñoz is actually coming in some landing, so he may be a name in that picture. Steckenrider was, but he also blew a save this week, so maybe he's backing his way out. Like, would you drop Sewald for anyone? Is that a name you want, or is Seattle, because they're so good, you're really trying to hold?
You kind of like nailed it. Is like, if you're rostering him right now, you have to really like fight through it and just be like, I think you want to hold. At least for a little while longer and see what happens. But just because of the upside he showed last year he's given you, you know, four, maybe the saves aren't there, but like he's going to get a couple wins. He's going to help with ratios, definitely going to help with Ks. So if you can hold out, like just kind of ride it out and see what happens, I think that's the best plan. But if it's like between Sewald and David Robertson or even Jorge Lopez, like Sewald versus Jorge Lopez, I have a hard time kind of making the argument to keep Sewald over Lopez right now.
And that's just insane. Which, just considering where we were a few weeks ago, everyone was like, oh, Paul Sewald, he's a darling. He was so good last year. And Jorge Lopez, we were like, really? But now we're 3 weeks into the season. It's like, oh, wow, Jorge Lopez is one of the hot pickups along with David Robertson. Things you could have told me at the beginning of spring training, and I would have been like, huh? Much sense. Yeah.
This is how it is, I guess, with relievers, especially early on. It's like it's a free-for-all just trying to figure out who, you know, like someone like Cesar Valdez was like the big pickup last year. And it's like, you know, some of these guys, they run, their magic runs out, but you know, you never know. Sometimes you get, you know, a full season of, you know, of a workload from a guy like Jorge Lopez, who you never thought would be like a fantasy relevant pitcher ever again.
You never know how long the magic carpet ride will be, but you ride on that magic carpet ride until they look at you like, oh, we're going down, and you jump off that ship as soon as it seems like it's going down. You don't want to get caught red-handed with your hand in the cookie jar with some of these situations. So continue to monitor it. Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah, you got to be like quick to pull to dump them if it starts going downhill, and then you pick up the next hot trend and see how long that lasts, and you just got to keep recycling, essentially.
Exactly. It's not a fun game to play, but we're playing this deck game along with you, so hopefully we're steering you in the right direction. But we're going to get into some of the news and notes in the past week. A lot of injury sort of news. You know, the carousel is still a thing, and we kind of broke it down at the beginning there, but I want to get into some of these situations where you have a closer, for the most part, coming back from injury, or someone who has been battling an injury, such as Liam Hendricks, who is battling a back injury. He's hasn't been placed on the IL, but we saw his last outing. He was bad. He blew a save his last time out. Tony La Russa said he started to deal with some injury, and they're going to look into things and see how severe. He has not been placed on the injured list at the time we're recording this podcast, which is Tuesday night. So I don't think he will, but it's something worth monitoring. One, or do you have concern with for Hendricks due to this injury? And if for some reason, if he does go on the IL, who is the next man up?
I mean, back injuries are always kind of concerning, especially someone, you know, in his 30s who's got a lot of, you know, he's been pitching. He's got a lot of mileage lately, the last few years. It seems like it's minor, so I'm not concerned yet. And Hendricks has always kind of, he literally has always struggled in April. It's been a bad month for him, you know, throughout his career, so I think he's a 5.55 ERA in April throughout his career. So I'm not panicking yet. I think the back, as long as he's not being placed on the IL, I'm not worried about it. They're going to let him, you know, figure this out on his own. If he does miss some time, it's probably Kendall Graveman. Bummer struggled a little bit out of the gate. Graveman had, you know, some save experience last year, closing experience. So I think Graveman would be the guy that, if you want to speculate on something, maybe with, you know, potentially Ryan Pressly coming back, you could, if you have Hector Neris, you swap, you know, Neris for Graveman to see if you get something there. But I wouldn't go rushing out to, you know, grab Graveman yet.
Yeah, it's worth monitoring, but like you said, it does seem like it's more of a minor injury that shouldn't linger long term. Like you said, there is a history of him struggling in this sort of month. His velocity on his pitches isn't down terribly. Mm-hmm. His fastball velocity is down just a little bit under a mile per hour, which is not a major significant trend, but keep an eye on it. We don't think he'll go on the IL, and I don't see any danger of him losing his job yet, but you never know. And Tony La Russa wouldn't shock me if he makes a move, but like you said, it's not worth panicking yet. I'm not trading Liam Hendricks. I may even, if you are in a saves league,
target him.
If the Liam Hendricks manager is panicking, which maybe they are at this point. It's early, and these are all the numbers we have to go on, so maybe make the buy low offer, but you know, I think there's a lot of smart managers out there who aren't hitting the panic button yet, but it can't hurt just to throw someone out there and see what happens. But the next injury that is worth mentioning is out in Houston, and it's actually good news. Ryan Pressly is nearing his return from his knee injury. He should be back shortly. We talked about it last week that it was a short stint, 10 days, more than likely will be back within the minimum, so he should be back shortly. Do you expect him to just jump right back into the role for Houston? Any concerns with that?
He should jump. Yeah, he should be back to closing out games at some point this week, it sounds like. He threw a good bullpen this week, and they were encouraged by his velocity readings, which is good to hear. So sounds like they're thinking like they got this knee issue taken care of. He's back to normal. Velocity's back up, and he should be, you know, the Ryan Pressly we've come to expect over the last couple of years. That said, it's like still a knee injury that's been lingering for 3 years, and it's a little concerning, but yeah, hopefully, you know, we get a few, at least, you know, a couple more months. It's tough because if you have Hector Neris, it's, you know, what do you can't really rely on Presley's knee to become an issue again. So I think, you know, Pressly, you gotta hope, you know, treat it like he's back to normal. And then if you want to hold on to Neris and wait a little while, I understand. But if there's, you know, something else on the wire that's a little more intriguing, you know, he's definitely not a must hold.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I actually still have next questions. Would you bother even stashing Hector Neris? It sounds like you're okay with doing that, but it's not a must do. So, you know, keep an eye out. If you have the space, it can't hurt. But we understand in those shallow leagues, it's not something you can really hang on to. Spec save guys are sometimes hard to hold on to. So it's just evaluate the roster. It can't hurt to hold on to if you can, but there's plenty of more valuable options. There's guys who have the closer jobs that are more valuable. So it's a team by team basis. Lucas Sims also this past week came off the IL and was pretty much thrown right into the closer job. He picked up the save for the Reds the other day, or came in the save situation. So is he the guy in Cincinnati? Do we just, you know, we kind of was wondering about the situation. Do we finally have an answer with Cincinnati?
I'm hoping so, since, I mean, I was kind of surprised. His first outing, I think he came in the seventh inning. Wasn't so great, but then, you know, first save situation that came up this Sunday, they went, you know, Art Warren in the eighth, Sims in the ninth, and that's what makes sense to me for their bullpen, like to go with those two guys, you know, back to back like that in the last two innings. So I think that's where they go from here, and that's kind of how I would treat it. And if that being the case, I think Sims becomes a near must add in every, you know, 12 teamer. So if he's still available, if, you know, people dropped him, or if he didn't have IL spots and he was just floating around on waivers, go pick him up now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he can be, granted, Cincinnati's not very good. They're in a struggle. So it's another team that's like, hey, we're not gonna have many saves, but it's a closer. And yep, we finally seem like we have a solution. Like I said, it's been pretty clear. He kind of jumped right into it. Warren will be the setup. So if you were hanging on to Warren for saves, I think we're fine moving on from him, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Go grab Lucas Sims. But another team, which we actually also got an answer from this past weekend, which I'm happy. We had a couple teams last week where we're like, what the heck are they doing? Yeah. We got another one this week. Emilio Pagan has seemed to emerge as the de facto closer for the Minnesota Twins. He got his first save, and we were waiting for a twin save opportunity. I feel like it's been a while, but he got it in. Joe Naran's kind of still the setup man. Is that how, your read on the situation? Am I looking too into this one or two save opportunities for Pagan, or is he the guy now in Minnesota?
I think, you know, once you go, if you get back-to-back save chances, you get, and you nail, you know, two of them back-to-back, you're pretty much the closer there. So yeah, I think he's the guy, and it's a, you know, it's unfortunate for everyone who was, you know, hoping for Duran to get in there, but it's still early, and it's, you know, Pagan's throwing this new splitter, which maybe, you know, maybe revitalizes him a little bit, but it's still been a couple, you know, two pretty down years for him. So, and he's not getting a ton of swings and misses this year as well, so I don't really know how long he sticks there. But again, it's like, you know, with Neris and Graveman and, you know, Duran, which one of those three, if you have an open spot, is worth stashing right now? And I think it's still Duran, but I, you know, those three are all kind of up in the air, but for the long term, Duran definitely.
We've been podcasting long enough now that you knew what I was going to be asking next, if Duran was worth the stash. But yeah, we know you had how much intrigue you have with Duran. You at one point said he has potential to be a top 10 closer for fantasy purposes. Yeah. So I would agree. I would still want to hold on him. His stuff is just too electric. Minnesota isn't exactly the safest closer job in Major League Baseball. I think Presley has a job locked down as long as he can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Minnesota, I could see Rocco Baldelli doing what other teams are doing and say, let's just throw Pagan in this crucial situation, but let Duran get a save opportunity. Yeah. So he's still worth a stash, but then again, in those shallow leagues, you may have to cut bait on Duran, and that just, you know, I know that breaks your heart.
Just gotta monitor it very close, because it's, yeah, like you said, it could really be like Pagan could be fine. He could be, you know, just fine, and all of a sudden, like one night, you know, Baldelli turns to, you know, to round for a save, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, this maybe, like, maybe they're just waiting for him to be a little more comfortable. So yeah, just if he does close out a game, I think that's when it becomes like, you know, make sure you add him that night or the weekend if it's, you know, a weekly league.
The next heartbreaker for our purposes, maybe Anthony Bender. It seemed that his time as the closer in Miami maybe coming to an end. Dylan Floro pitched in a rehab assignment the other day, and he's more than likely going to be back soon. You know, do you expect him to come? It sounds like it may be this weekend thing. When he comes back, is he your favorite for saves for Miami? Are you still holding off hope for Bender? Where are you leaning now if Miami's bullpen?
For the long term, I'm holding out hope for Bender, but I can't. He too is dealing with a bit of an injury, and it's just the timing of all of this is not great for his chances. I got a little excited for Tanner Scott to get a save this weekend, and then just to turn around and, you know, kind of fall apart the next day against the Braves. So I think Scott's window to kind of take the rollovers also closed, and we'll see what happens this week. Floro started his rehab assignment. I don't know if he's going to, how many games they have him, you know, slated to pitch in the minors, but he should be back, I would have guessed, this weekend. And like, timing's perfect for him to kind of just slot right back into, you know, where he was last year.
So where does Bender slot in with these spec guys? Do you put him with Neris? Do you above Neris? Do you put him with Duran? Where does he fit into that picture?
I think I would rather Duran right now. Bender's probably, yeah, in that second, that next group with the Narises and Gravemans, and they might go back to him. They've trusted him, but it's been a really, really rough start for him, and now he's got some, you know, injury concerns. So I just don't know if I see them. I don't know if I see him get another save chance in the next, you know, couple weeks to or so.
Now on to the weekly Boston Red Sox update. The latest, movement in it. Garrett Whitlock is entering the rotation. We have talked about him as a late option and someone we want to keep an eye on. Well, that's off the table now. He's going to the rotation. He will be pitching length outings. There's no more him in the pen for now. More than likely, he'll end up back there at some point. But for now, he's in the rotation. And now Matt Barnes is putting himself more and more in that conversation. So is he now the favorite in Boston? Are Diekman and Robles still worth stashing? You've watched more Boston Red Sox games than I have, for sure, and I'm happy to say that. But what's your read right now on that bullpen?
Yeah, I had to throw in some sort of Red Sox talk this week, because until they have something settled, I think this is going to be a weekly thing, because it's... You know, their bullpen hasn't even been like a huge issue. I mean, their offense has been the biggest issue, but I'm just trying to make sense of, you know, the bullpen usage. And, you know, Alex Cora seems to think that Matt Barnes is like back to normal, or he's at least said that, which, you know, maybe it's just, you know, coach speak, but like Matt Barnes is not back to what he was the beginning of last year or before. The velocity is still down. That hasn't improved. It's just, I'm like, but like, they trusted him with a save chance the other day, and he's at least worked himself, if he's not the closer, he's at least worked himself back into a committee with, you know, Robles and Diekman. I think Barnes is in that, he's like in that spec spot where it's like, I might take a chance. I want to take a chance with him over Duran, just because if he does end up being the Red Sox closer, that's like, it's a huge, you know, that could really pay off for you. But the stuff's just still not there yet. And it's, you know, it's still early. It might come around, but it's tough to say if it will or not. So it's a really big dart throw, and You know, I guess if he's lingering and you can drop someone of no use to you, then you add him now and you see what happens. But, you know, yeah.
So if you had to roster a Red Sox reliever, it is Matt Barnes now, or are you still having him over? Are you still looking at Diekman or Robles?
I think Diekman's kind of out right now. I think it's between Barnes and Robles, and you know, knowing like Robles's recent history doesn't exactly instill confidence in me to add him or roster him right now. So I think I would. If I'm taking a chance on one of them, I'd go with Barnes. Just hope that something changes here, or maybe he can succeed with the being down in velocity and just not being a huge strikeout guy anymore. I don't know, but maybe he can make it work. But whoever's the closer, I guess, is who I would take. And I hope that Barnes just, figures it out soon.
Tune in next week for the weekly Boston Red Sox update when we decide that, no, it's not Barnes, it's somebody else. But
Matt Strom's going to be closing out games.
You never know. That hair, he can do it, though. He hasn't cut it in five. You think you could pull that off? You think you can go 5 years without cutting your hair?
No, definitely not me.
Yeah, no chance. Even the couple months of me with COVID hair was too much. I had to get a haircut. It was, even my friends who don't ever compliment on things like that were picking up on it. It was like, you gotta do something about it. But speaking of COVID, a weird transition I wasn't expecting to make. Lou Trevino is going to be coming off the COVID IL this weekend, more than likely. So he may slot back into the Athletics. But Danny Jimenez has pitched well in his absence. Do we have another potential committee on our hands with Jimenez or Trevino? Or do you expect Trevino to slide right back in and be the guy you want in Oakland?
I think I don't see it would be kind of just from like, I don't know if any closers lost their job for, going on the COVID IL yet in the last, since 2020. So this would be kind of unprecedented, but if anyone could, I mean, Danny Jimenez has been pitching really well. He's got his slider is, pretty big time. It's got, great whiff rates right now. Fastballs, but he's making it work. He pitched well in AAA last year for Toronto. And I'm not big on Lou Trevino, so I guess I would like to see Jimenez keep the role, but I just don't think that's how Oakland plays this, because... Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like Trevino's been their closer for, a year plus now. At least a year. So it's that's kind of a tough way to lose your job. But hey, I mean, you never know. And with the relievers nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he won't lose his job fully, but it could be another one of those annoying committees where they're splitting it 50-50 and we're trying to predict it week by week, which we'd like to say we can do a little better, but some of these managers are not making our jobs easy. So I'd probably still stash Jimenez if I can. I feel like this could be a similar to the Kansas City where it's Barlow and Stalmont. You don't want to drop either of them. Jimenez might not be somebody you want to drop. I think that I agree with you. Trevino will likely slide back in, but I have a feeling Kotze may get a little ugly with it.
Yeah, it's probably worth definitely waiting and seeing what happens, but it. If they do end up splitting it, do you really want to half of a committee for a team that's, maybe going to win 70 games this year? That's, it's tough to justify rostering that.
This is also very, very true. And if you want to see which reliever Rick prefers of the bunch, feel free to log on to pitcherlist.com, look at his closer rankings, look at the saves plus holds rankings, looks at the holds rankings. It'll help you make these decisions a little easier rather than running through every single one of them on this show. But the last team that we're going to mention in this segment is, as usual, the San Francisco Giants. Camilo Duvall has been continuing to get saves, but McGee, he still finds his position as well, so we'll do the weekly San Francisco Giant question. Where are you at with Camilo Duvall? Where are you at with Jake McGee? What is it looking like? We kind of said it's starting to look like Duvall has a job? Are we still on that in that position?
I think it's clearly heading towards Duvall territory. And I kind of feel bad because he dropped the spot this week. But that's only because I added Presley back. But I probably should have bumped him up a little bit, I guess. He's been closing out games, but he still isn't. He hasn't really put together he had great outings last September where he was just one of the most dominant relievers in baseball, and he really hasn't shown that yet. So while it's nice to see that he is looking more and more like the, full-time closer in San Francisco, I still want to see a little bit more production from him, outside of the saves category.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a name we're excited about this year, but he seems to be getting the job. Like I said, the production hasn't exactly been there, and Kapler doesn't exactly have the most patience or willingness to stick with one guy. So let's pick us up the ball. I don't want to have to keep having to recap this every single week. We're going to take a brief break. When we get back, we're going to start looking into some of those StatCast metrics we talked about. Throw out some names who have stood out for you. I've got a name that I'm just dying to talk about as a Yankee fan. Who is it? You probably know, but we'll talk about him and a few more guys when we get back. And we're back here on In the Pen, the podcast about relievers. I am Callan, joined with Rick. Let's dive into some of this StatCast data. Yes, it's early. Yes, it's only a couple outings, but I think it's starting to see some stats that names that are at least worth mentioning. So we're not going to go through a list. You probably know if you want to look into this. Fangraphs, Baseball Savant, all those sites, you could start looking at players' metrics, where they rank in these sort of things. But we've looked into, things like XFIP, K percentage, CSW, of course. We couldn't do a show like this and not talk about CSW as part of pitcher list, but there's been names we've popped out on some of those. So, I'll get to the guy that I've wanted to talk about in just a moment. So, Rick, please don't steal him from me. But just looking at some of these metrics, there's some names that pop up the page. Give me a couple guys who just stood out in terms of that, who don't exactly have the major role, who are kind of off the fantasy radar coming in this year, who are starting to get in this conversation as maybe not immediate ads, but people you should put on your watch list to add in the future.
The first name that stuck out, and he's been kind of, thrown about for a while now, Ryan Helsley. Like, he's always had big time, upper 90s fastball, like pretty electric when he comes out. He's struggled though the last couple of years, and now he's even, velo's even more up this year. He's, it's again early, but he's been basically unhittable, like literally unhittable this year. So that's a name that, and Gallego struggled last night, Monday night. So if something else, another bad outing from Gallegos, and, Helsley definitely has closer material type stuff. Another guy that I just was literally just finished off the game for the Mariners, Andrés Muñoz. Like, there is no more electric arm than him, probably. It's again, like we talked about it earlier, it's kind of a mess there, and there's a lot of good arms there, but he was called on for a save already this past week, and maybe he could actually just kind of run away with that job. That would be, that's big time upside right there if he starts being a weekly, saves contributor.
Yeah, Helsley, his numbers just pop right off the page. He leads in XFIP. He leads in K percentage. He leads in swinging strike percentage. He leads in XWOBA. All of those are closer material. And like I said, Gallegos has struggled. But if you're looking in saves plus holds, who's in front of Gallegos? There's nobody there. There hasn't been that emergent guy. Yeah. And the Cardinals have been really good. That offense has been great this season. They're going to be hanging around for playoff berth. You want to get a hold of someone who can, if he is still going to be Gallegos, which as a Gallegos fantasy manager, I hope it is. I don't want to have to look for more saves, but Helsley has the stuff. So either way, he's going to be getting the ball to Gallegos, either coming in for the big outs in 7th or 8th, getting up to him, or if Gallegos struggles, like you said, Helsley's going to be the guy. Reyes was the guy last year, but he's been hurt.
Yeah,
I don't see Marmol all of a sudden being locked into Alex Reyes being the guy as soon as he comes back if something were to happen to Gallegos. So I completely love the Helsley shout out and think that there's a lot of upside of him. If he's not rostered in a saves plus holds league, I think you go out and get him now. I know he said put these guys on your watch list, but I think Helsley has pitched well enough and is the immediate heir to Gallegos or the immediate guy and to get the ball to Gallegos.
Yeah, he's shooting up. I mean, I think I started the year, I had him in like the 80s, 90s, and like my holds ranking is in. Yeah, this coming Thursday, he'll be, I'm not positive, but I'm guessing he'll be at least top 15, 20.
Yeah, so definitely go get him. There's a lot to like there. And I do like the Munoz call. Same thing, saves plus holds. He probably should be rostered just because he's entered that committee for Seattle. Who's the answer to this committee in Seattle? We don't know. We tell you every single week. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to follow the trends, but it changes by the week. But what won't change is that they'll be involved in those later parts of the games. They'll all be involved. When that changes at a drop of a dime, it's very situational with Scott Servais, and you know that's not going to change. But they'll still be right there as the guys to get the ball to whoever it is that pitches the knife. And Munoz, like you said, did pick up a save in the past week since we recorded. So he's firmly entrenched in that conversation, and we've talked about it throughout the season that you want, even if it's a committee, you want those committee guys on a good team like Seattle.
Yeah.
Is there anybody, you know, anybody else who stands out? Anything else that, any other names that are worth monitoring from this?
Grant Durand, he's on this list, and obviously we've talked about him a lot. He's on a lot of these leaderboards. Another name that's new to a lot of people this year, you know, Steven Wilson out in San Diego. Another, you know, kind of been around in the minor leagues for a while, and he's off to a great start for them. And it's a bit of a crowded bullpen as well there, but you know, some of their relievers that they brought in to, you know, shore up the later innings have kind of struggled. So Wilson's taken advantage of this opportunity, and for save holds leagues, he's worth the ad for now and see how it plays out. But yeah, other than him, it's interesting seeing like Rafael Montero on this list a couple times. He's off to a great start. I looked like a little bit more into it, and it doesn't look like anything's really. I mean, I might be missing something, but it doesn't seem like much has changed from like where he was at last year. Maybe it's luck, or you know, Houston is kind of, they're one of those teams that does good things with relievers. You know, we talk about like Tampa Bay and Milwaukee. Houston's another one. So yeah, maybe he's for real, and like that's, you know, someone to keep an eye on and holds leagues.
Yeah. We don't mention the locked in closers a lot in the show because they're locked in. You know what you're gonna get, but just the name that stood out to me, Edwin Diaz is having a great season. Yeah. He's fifth in K percentage. We knew he was good. He's one of the locked in elite closers that, you know, you draft in the earlier rounds. But just seeing it, these rankings that you put out there, the sack ass leaderboards, it's escaped my mind of how good of a season he really has had. So, yep, good for Diaz. You know, few years, he's been one of the elite closers, but it's still the fact that the Mets are the Mets, and Diaz has kind of had that reputation of being a little shaky these past years. He's been lights out this year, and it's nice to see, but I guess it's time for me to bring out the name. You knew it was coming, Rick. I couldn't keep it in much longer. Michael King. What he did the other night against Cleveland was incredible. We saw Tyone go to five innings, and my immediate thought was, okay, the Yankees will do what the Yankees do. They'll give an inning to Holmes. They'll give an inning to Clay.
Yeah.
I just said Clay Holmes. Chad Green, Clay Holmes, Loaisiga, Chapman, Phil Nixon. Maybe King gets an inning. No, King went three innings, struck out eight, gave up one hit. It was absolutely lights out. His K percentage sits right now third, CSW third among qualified relievers. He's emerged. He's swinging strike rates in the top 25%. He's right up there with Clay Holmes in terms of XWOBA. But everything there for Michael King has just been known. And you talk about the Astros as one of those teams that build relievers. The Yankees are in that conversation. Yeah. Well, we saw Loaizaga emerge last year, Clay Holmes after trading. Michael King's making that ascension as well. What makes it difficult for fantasy purposes is that it is that committee. And, you know, he's moving up Aaron Boone's circle of trust, clearly. He's joining the Clay Holmes and the Chad Greens, is getting those middle relief roles. We saw him get the save when Aroldis Chapman struggled 2 weeks ago against Toronto. So he's jumping up the circle of trust and saves holds league. He's got to be on your radar, maybe even worth an ad right now. He's still, I don't know if he's jumped in front of Green or anything, or Holmes, but the Yankee stars aren't exactly going deep in the game. So even if he has to come in for a sixth inning hold, that could be king. And you've seen the willingness of Boone to throw multiple innings. What he's done, he's increased his velocity on his pitches. It's just been a lot of fun to watch. And I texted my brother when he first had that. I'm like, this guy could be the unsung hero of our bullpen this year. He's been lights out.
Yeah. That's, it kind of reminds me of like when Chad Green kind of became, you know, that bullpen weapon for them, where, you know, he comes in earlier in the game, but he can, you know, he can go multiple innings. He can kind of do just a lot of versatility with them. So, yeah, I guess, yeah, I was going to ask, like, where you think he's, like, because I'm trying to figure out this bullpen, because there's still, you know, Green and Loaizaga and Holmes has been good. So, and like another, like Miguel Castro is another one of those
Miguel
guys.
Miguel Castro's been very good, too.
Yeah, I feel like the Yankees are going to get the most out of him the way that they, you know, produce relievers. So, yeah, Kings definitely, and like the extra innings help too. You can't discount, like, you know, that helps your ratios, your whips, and he's gonna get more K's than more innings he throws. So he might not get a ton of holds, but, you know, probably mix in some wins and help you out everywhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he slots right in there. Like you said, he's moving up to Perkle Trust. It's tough. I don't think I don't think he's jumped any of these guys yet, but Loaizaga hasn't exactly been as good as he's been what he was last year. Am I believing he's turned bad all of a sudden? No, I think he's still the go-to guy to get the ball to Chapman. I think he's still right in that mix, but you know, it's interesting moving forward to see how Aaron Boone manages it, but it just gives another weapon for an already deep bullpen that, and a team that's finally starting to win, and it's calmed my nerves about how their early season struggles. So all is okay right now in Yankee lands. Give me a week, and then I'll be telling you how things are not good. But right now, I have a smile on my face as I watch the game and record the show.
If only you had Garrett Whitlock still, you know, that bullpen.
Jeez. That's just, it's amazing how good he's been. You have to. And I remember watching it last year, like, how do we let this guy go? And I'm like, our bullpen's great, so I can't be greedy, but come on, wouldn't he be so fun to watch?
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
Let's keep an eye on that going forward, as well as a few other things that we'll get into our final segment. What are we looking forward to these past week? What's one of the bullpen, you know, either a committee, something that we're trying to keep an eye on over next week to report on for next week's show? Rick, we'll start with you.
First thing that comes in, well, a couple things, but, you know, I want to see what happens in Miami, because, you know, Miami might not be, you know, the most profitable team. They're not going to win a ton of games, but they're still, the closer there has been pretty, you know, pretty valuable for the past few years. So figuring out where they go moving forward there, that's like kind of the one of the last teams that's up in the air, with, of course, you know, the Red Sox, and they just took a lead in Toronto. So we might see, you know, Hansel Robles is pitching the eighth right now, up 3. Does that mean Barnes or Diekman for the ninth? We'll find out. Those are the two teams I'm kind of interested in, though.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on Oakland. We talked about with Lou Trevino coming back. I do want to see whether Jimenez is involved. I think we have a somewhat different. I think we both think it's going to be involved. I'm believing it's more of a 50-50. I think you, if I am hearing it right, you think it's more Trevino's going to kind of go right back in, but we'll see. I want to keep an eye on that. Yes, it's Oakland. Yes, it's a committee on a bad baseball team, but you get desperate for saves. So I want to know if Jimenez is worth stashing or continuing. And then Minnesota is the other team I want to really watch. I want to see whether Pagan has, you know, he seems to be getting the trends. Let's see if it continues. Let's see if Baldelli makes the transition. We both still want Duran deep in our hearts to be getting saves and not have to be like, we got to drop in saves leagues, but it seems like it's Pagan, but let's see if that trend continues going forward.
Yeah, I'm just going to add two other quick things. Like, yeah. I want to see what the health is for, you know, Liam Hendricks. How does he bounce back this week? If Presley returns, how does he look? Is the velo actually up like they're saying? And if Lucas Sims, I want to see, I mean, I don't want to see how Sims kind of, you know, reacts in his first full week, you know, back.
All that and more we'll probably be recapping in next week's episode of In the Pen, but there's a lot to watch for. Bullpens are an ever-evolving thing, as you've seen in the past few weeks of the show, but it's a tough game to play, but we're playing it, and there's a lot of moving parts that you gotta keep an eye on each and every week. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of In the Pen. Rick, tell us, as usual, where I can find you on Twitter and the show, and plug anything you're working on.
I'm at I am Rick Graham on Twitter. The show can be found at In the Pen Pod on Twitter. And yeah, we're, you know, I'm just still, if you haven't been checking out our, you know, daily reliever ranks column, I that highly suggest it for, you know, getting the most up to date, you know, news and storylines from what's going on in the reliever world every day. So check that out.
Yep, and you can find me at Cal_Osslager. Just basically hosting the show, and I'll put out some nastiest pitchers articles as I get on there. Try and get some relievers some love and keep it rolling. But as usual, you can find all this work and more. You know it by now. I probably don't need to say this, but pitcherlist.com. We got the reliever ranks. We got all that. Anything baseball you want, you can find. And you know, if you know, if you're listening to the show, you probably know that by now. But in case you found us by accident, pitcherlist.com is where you can find all of this work. But like I said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of In the Pen. I am Callan. He is Rick. And we'll see you next week, and hopefully have even further closer answers for you.